Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Real close to getting out of that fifth with 3-1 lead. And, you know, unfortunately, just what we were able to put together late just wasn't quite enough. But it was good to see him out there, and it was good to see guys continue to keep coming, especially you give a 5-spot up, and then you just kind of keep working yourself back into the game. But unfortunately, it's a lot to make up in the last third. So
I felt like I could barely see. I was so juiced up, but I just really tried to take in the moment, and it was amazing. It's obviously the most people I've ever thrown in front of, the loudest the stadium's ever been after an out. I was so shocked the first out how loud it was. But it was just a really amazing experience. I'm super thankful.
That was Mike Matheny after the game, and also Daniel Lynch talking about the Royals losing to Cleveland. Daniel Lynch pitched pretty well, and they were really close getting out of that inning and getting through 5 with a lead 3-1, but Lynch put a couple of runners on. They go to Scott Barlow, and he allows the runners to score, 3-3, new ball game, and it went downhill from there. We have Jamie Bluma in to talk about it. Bluma, take me back to the moment you made your debut in the major leagues. You heard those... You heard those comments from Daniel Lynch that resonate with you?
It did. Selfishly, I always want a guy making his major league debut with the Royals to give up a home run to the first batter to get me off the hook. But leadoff hitter smoked that ball too, dude.
Sweeney's
he smoked that
anyway.
Ball. And Dice made a great play on the first ball. So I was like, all right, that's over with. Good. Now go shutout, kid. Yeah, it was Sweeney's fault. I can blame it on him forever. But no, overpumped. But I thought, as a whole, pretty good. Nibbling a little bit sometimes, wanted him to get through 5 with the lead, and part of me wanted him to keep him in there, and, you know, Barlow gave up a single, but the wild pitch before that, I think Salvi got a little bit lazy on that ball. We had just talked about Cam Gallagher blocking every single ball that had been thrown to him.
That was a big one.
And he tried to backhand the ball a little bit where if he even gets a piece of it, keeps in front of him. We keep the runners on first and second, not second and third, and then that base hit only scores 1. So that was disappointing. But as a whole, I'm excited with the stuff that Daniel Lynch brought to the table last night. Pretty good poise overall. I know he walked 4, but I was just impressed how he worked out of trouble. I mean, it's your first big league outing, and a couple of those innings he could have just crumbled. But he did not, and made pitches when he needed to make pitches. Made a couple guys look dumb. He looked Naylor's first at bat, that breaking ball that he swung at, but he got him the next time as far as squaring something up. But as a whole, encouraging. I think Junis threw too many sliders last night, to be 100% honest with you. I think the one thing about him being in the rotation and what they talked about, we've talked about all spring, is his cutter was the new toy or whatever you want to say. And he didn't throw that many cutters last night. He didn't throw that many thing but sliders last night. So I think he maybe got a little bit slider happy and left a couple out over the plate and got stung for 2 home runs. So that being said, I don't know. I don't know if it was him that was supposed to come out of the rotation or should have come out of the rotation.
What do you think of that decision?
Curious, unless you're going to do like a piggyback type thing, which maybe that's what they had thought going into that game last night.
Who would you have replaced?
I mean, just looking at the numbers overall, Keller. But
what about the fact that Minor has been an effective reliever for the Royals before, and you know he can do the job?
Either one of those two guys would have made a little bit more sense to me. But at the same time, Junis was the guy going into spring that you didn't expect to be in the rotation, and he pitched himself back into the rotation in the spring. So he was the guy that I think maybe you're most confident in, you know, going back to the bullpen. Although all 3 of those guys, Keller, Minor, and Junis hasn't really relieved at the big league level. He started only at the big league level. So
he's had 9 appearances out of the pen.
Right. So that's what Keller did before he worked himself into the rotation as a Rule 5 guy his rookie year. That's what Miner's done for us. So I don't know. I think because of the contract that Miner's on, because of Keller is your default number one guy, that's why you end up going with Junis, because maybe he's the low man as far as, you know, fourth or fifth starter or whatever number he is. That's the guy that you can just, you know, demote to the bullpen. I always think it's funny. It's easier, apparently, to get guys out in the bullpen than it is in the starting rotation. But it's hard to get guys out the big league level at any spot.
Well, Keller said that in today's baseball, it's not really a demotion, because the relievers are as important in many people's eyes as the starters are. I don't think it's that. I don't think that concept of demotion, though, is that it's harder to get guys out. It's you have to get more guys out when right. you're starting.
You need a bigger repertoire of pitches, because you're going to face guys more than once.
Yeah.
I mean, most relievers, you're going to face a guy once.
Yeah.
Where if you're a middle guy or if you're a starter, obviously you need, you know, two pitches, if not three. I mean, Singer's doing it with two, occasional changeup. Last night, Lynch did it with fastball, breaking ball, occasional changeup. And his changeup was pretty good last night, I thought, when he did throw it. So that's going to be a plus third pitch. But as a whole, excited about him moving forward. Just excited about him to get out there and pitch. I'd seen him at the University of Virginia. Virginia's head coach is a guy that I had played against in college, Brian O'Connor. So kind of follow them a little bit. So to see where he's going, it's great to hear the story about him being 5'8" and 130 pounds when he was a freshman, and then, you know, just blowing up and then getting bigger. And
so he was exactly the same size as me when we were freshmen in college, and then I never grew.
Freshman in high school, he was 5'8".
No, I was 5 feet even in freshman in high school, so that doesn't. Never mind.
So encouraging. Encouraging some stuff from an offensive point standpoint last night, too. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. we gave up 8 runs on the pitching side of things, but I liked how guys swung the bats pretty good last night. Dozier. And I wanted to see Karinchak pitch, if that's how you pronounce it, for the Indians. His numbers are stupid. Like Nintendo numbers. I think he'd thrown 11 2/3 and struck out 23 or 24 guys, had not given up an earned run.
I bid high on him, thinking he would end up being the closer, and he's not.
So. Well, the guy that's closing for him is pretty impressive to watch, too. He touched 102.
That's a hell of a 1-2 combination right there.
And
in the
he's
back
a
of
young,
bullpen.
Both young guys. I mean, they've got a good bullpen. I mean, normally we see with Cleveland, its starting rotation has been good over the last 3 or 4 years. But, man, their bullpen's going to be tough.
Karinchak's ERA is .69. Yeah.
That's first run he'd given up.
No, he's
first pitch, too, and Dozier ambushed him on that fastball, which obviously Dozier got the scouting report. Like, his breaking ball's filth. And so he got a first pitch fastball and hopped all over it. Nice job by him.
You know, at the time, I really didn't think much about it. When Matheny made the decision to take Lynch out, did you agree?
I get it, because it's his first outing.
Right.
And it's Barlow, and Barlow's been pretty dang good.
Right.
And then the wild pitch, I was so pissed when I was yelling at that. And the home plate umpire again last night was a zoo. I don't know. I'm so frustrated watching guys both ways, man. Like, it was tight, super tight last night. Open it up a little bit.
I
don't know if he's that tight all the time, but it just seemed he was inconsistent and tight, both. Because you had guys chirping again from both sides on pitches, and then they throw the exact same pitch, and the next pitch is a strike. So I don't know.
Well, on the home run in the seventh inning, you know, they thought Junis had a strikeout, and then ends up turning into a home run, and the pitch was
Pitch was away. That's not the way. I know that at that point he'd kicked. He had missed so many calls.
Yeah.
You hear the fans yelling at him, and he had not been very good. And then that one in particular, he didn't miss that call. That pitch was outside.
Right.
And then he hung a slider. So I wasn't mad about any of those things. Just in general, when you're a pitcher and you don't know what the zone is, I mean, even if it's up, whatever, it is what it is. And
I guess the thing that made me mad about it, though, you're right, that pitch was outside. When Dozier struck out in the bottom of the ninth, that exact same pitch was thrown, and it was called a ball. I mean, it was called a strike on Dozier. And that's the part where you're like, okay, I mean, Is that pitch a strike or not tonight?
Right, right. You know what,
you know what I mean? That's the part that was frustrating me.
And what you hear a lot of times, when what you see a lot of times is, all right, this guy's got, he's going to give you the inside half on a right-handed batter or the inside half on the left, or he's going to give you down, or he's going to, umpires, all, they've been around long enough, most of them have been, that they have a pattern. Mm-hmm. This guy, I don't know if he had a pattern, or I don't even know who it was. They said his name so many times on the broadcast, I kept throwing my shoe at the TV. Emily's like, what are you doing? Don't break the TV.
Wait, you actually literally threw your shoe at
and
the
I
TV?
I threw my flip-flop at the TV at one point. Like, come on, dude. But that's never an excuse. I mean, the balls that Junis, he hung a couple sliders. I mean, he threw a couple absolutely dirty ones to Franmil Reyes to strike him out. But then when he needed it the most, he hung a couple. And can't do that, man. These are big league hitters. I don't care if they're hitting. I think those. I saw the stats last night. The middle of that lineup's, you know, hitting pretty well, and then the rest of. I mean, they only hit 205 as a team, so let's try to keep out of the middle of the plate. And he did not do that. So, I don't know. I was pissed first because Salvi got lazy, and then that base hit tied it. So, you know, he's off the hook for at least. He's not going to get the win because he didn't throw five innings, but I don't know.
But you saw enough from Lynch to leave him in the rotation, right?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I hadn't really got a chance to see him pitch before. Not really many people had, unless you'd seen him pitch in a minor league game 2 years ago. You can't go watch him at the alternate site or anything like that. So to actually see him physically pitch in person, I'd heard about his stuff and read about it, but it's going to play just fine. So I would leave him in there, sure.
Jamie Bluma is our guest. Did he... Whenever a young pitcher comes up, I like to ask about comparisons. Did he remind you of anyone when you saw him out there? Did
kind of a Chuck Finley type for me, you know?
Chuck Finley was one of the most handsome pitchers ever.
Him and Tawny Kitaen, not a bit of a mission.
Speaking of throwing shoes at people. Well,
but no, he's that kind of build. I mean, 6'6", 215, power stuff, good downhill. I mean, good, you know, 95 fastball up to 97.
Of all the videos we watched when we were youngsters, was she the best?
Ooh, on the hood of the car,
right? In Whitesnake, here good. I go again. I mean, that was a strong performance.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple warrant videos that I was hoping she'd be in, but that's a different deal.
Chuck Finley, I like that.
Yeah, I like. Yeah, that's a good comparable.
All right. Moving forward, Junis. You would like to? Would you like him to stay in the bullpen? I'm talking about you. What you would do? What would right now? At 8:31 in the morning, Tuesday, May the 4th, be with you. What would Jamie Bluma's rotation be?
I would rather Junis be in the rotation than Liner.
There you go.
Because then that gives us another lefty in the bullpen too.
There you are.
So, but when you give a guy that kind of a 2-year deal,
yeah. How much of a factor is that?
Was it 2 years, 18 million?
It's
a bit of a factor. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, this is going to be about winning games, not what we're paying, dude. So.
And he was a really good reliever in 2017. Like you said, another lefty in the bullpen.
Yep.
And Junis seemed to be finding himself as a starter.
Well, we'll see what you know, minor league season starts today. May the 4th be with you, and everything starts.
You're excited about that, aren't you?
I am.
I can't wait to see what these damn prospects are doing.
Well, and I'm looking at all the kids that I know that I've coached and taught and the guys from the Kansas City area and who's going where and what roster they're on and all that stuff. Yeah, they're excited, man. They haven't gotten to play in a year and a half. So those guys are chomping at the bit. I talked to Riley Pint yesterday. I talked to Luke Ritter yesterday. Trying to see where everybody that we know here in town is. Good luck to everybody from the Kansas City area. Joey Wentz is on the Toledo roster. I did not realize my old teammate Doug Bockler is the pitching coach in Toledo. Excited about the minor league season to get going.
It's probably a dumb question. You probably are, but have you seen how Ryan Stanek's kicking ass?
Yes.
I mean, he's the main setup guy.
Yeah. Well, you got to save the other night, a step away from being a, you know. Yeah, I've talked to him just about after every other outing. I shoot him a little text and say, keep it up.
I mean, he's looking good.
He is looking good.
At some point, can we get him on the show when you're on so we can talk to him?
I think so, yeah. I'll ask him about that. He would be up for that. He's been on the show before.
I know, but it looks like he's in a terrific situation for him. Where he can end up.
I'll reach out to him this week and see if we can't
connect to get him on here.
I like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Brad Keller. I mean, I don't know.
Tawny Kitaen.
Yeah. We got Dayton Moore. We'll listen to what Dayton Moore had to say when he was asked about Brad Keller. We'll also have you respond to what Dayton Moore had to say about the eventual return of Adalberto Mondesi. So a couple of hot topics after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Jamie Bloom in studio. Okay, let's play a couple of clips from Dayton Moore and get Bloom's response. Let's play the Brad Keller first. Here, Dayton Moore talks about the recent struggles of Brad Keller, but he still believes in his opening day starter.
Concerned about Brad Keller at all. Brad Keller is the same determined, hardworking pitcher today than he was when we had him for the very first time in spring training after the Rule 5. You don't make it as a Rule 5 pick and stick and have the success that Brad Keller's had unless he's special. So I rely on that. Hey, look, as we all know, the major leagues isn't easy. And hitters make adjustments. And at the end of the day, Brad's just got to stay convicted in what he does. And, you know, the guys would tell you, we need to play some better defense behind him. And we will. But I mean, that's not an excuse. I mean, but, you know, if you have a letdown in any one area with your team on any given night, there's a good chance you're going to lose.
Look, Dayton Moore is pretty open and honest when he speaks with the media, but and I don't know what he's going to, you know, what he's going to say publicly. He's not going to say that. Well, I am concerned about Brad Keller. But do you believe he's really not?
Of course, he's concerned. We're all concerned about Brad Keller because doesn't seem to be physical as far as he's hurt. I think it's just a matter of command and maybe a little bit of the mental. Well, we said it last week. To try easier. If there is such a thing, you know, he may be putting a little bit too much. When you get in that rut and you've had a couple bad ones, then you have a tendency to put a little bit more stress on yourself and pressure on yourself. We all pitch best when we're relaxed, 95%, and everything's going well. That's when we pitch best. Unfortunately, I mean, that doesn't happen every single time you go out there. You're not going to have your best stuff or your best command, and it's the guys that are able to battle through those days when they don't have their best stuff and still, you know, eke out the ability to make good pitches when you need to and keep your team in the game with the opportunity to give them a chance to win. And he just hasn't done that. I mean, first pitch of the game the other night, he hits a guy in the back foot. Like, how does that happen? You know, what are you doing in the bullpen? I know everybody's got their plan, and he just off a little bit. The stuff's still there. That's good to see. I watched that the other day. If anything, his stuff, it's all over the place moving. And that sometimes when he's got such good stuff, it's hard to command. And he's having trouble with that right now. I think once he, you know, hopefully it's just one outing. He gets himself back. I thought that one outing was two outings ago when he went six innings. You know, battle hard. You had a bunch of guys on base but made pitches when he need to. Sometimes something like that can get you locked back in. But, you know, right out of the gate, he hits a guy and the wheels are off the cart before you even can do anything in the first inning. And then you feel like you're swimming upstream from there on out in that outing, and it's hard. I would love to see him come in and get a 1-2-3 first inning like he did two outings ago, and that kind of sets the tone. Because he's a guy that can go out there and have a four-pitch inning like that because the stuff's moving all over the place. You got guys being aggressive at the plate, and that could happen. So for the time being, we're going to see him in the rotation. We've got to wish him the best.
Okay, so I feel like I have to bring this up because we've been critical of this in the past, Nate. It seems like the analytics crowd has never been in love with Brad Keller, and they've always predicted regression. Like he's just this, his success is not sustainable. Do you think there's anything? I mean, but this is like this is ridiculous. He's not going to have it. What does he have, an ADRA?
Right.
You know, but there's been many that have suggested that this is he's not as good as his numbers have indicated. And I've pushed back against that. We all have, but, like, you know, how long does he have to do it before you actually realize this is what he is? And
forever.
Guys like you and Boddicker and everyone else have said, no, this guy knows how to pitch. We like his stuff. We like what he has. He doesn't get, and look, Boddicker, that's a preacher in the crowd. He doesn't have the huge strikeout numbers. Boddicker doesn't care. We've seen many successful pitchers not have huge strikeout numbers, but, you know, just get guys out and be able to give you innings and be a workhorse. Nate, do you think how much of that now do you give credit to?
He's not pitching as well. You know, I mean, like, I don't.
He's not really pitching at all right now. He seems like he's out there just throwing and hoping for the best, and he's got, you know, nothing is going how he wants it to go. So then it's a panic.
He's walking a full batter more per inning than per nine innings than he ever has in a season. His average coming into the year was below 3.5 walks per nine innings. He's over 4.8. And things like that to me showed that I don't think it's fair to say, well, he was just lucky the first three, because that's kind of what you're talking about. The analytics crowd says he's pitched into good luck. You know, he gives up too much contact. He gives up too many fly balls. And the odds tell you that if you give up that much contact and that many fly balls, that your numbers are going to be this. And his numbers have been better than that. So they'd say he's pitched into good luck. Well, he's not pitching the same right now that he did the first 3 years. You can tell by the way he's walking, guys. You can tell by the usage of his slider and things like that he's not pitching as well as he has in the past. My question, Steven, on things like this is it a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy? You know, if a guy is pitching well, because competitors are always trying to improve. No matter how well they're pitching or playing, they're always looking at, okay, what do I need to do better? What do I need to do differently? How can I keep advancing as a player? Because they say, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, right? So I wonder sometimes if guys don't look at numbers like that and say, okay, yeah, my numbers have been good, but I got to start striking more guys out or else the numbers are going to catch up to me. I got to change who I am as a pitcher because all the analytics tell me that I can't sustain this, so I've got to change. And then all of a sudden to get away from what makes them successful. And I don't know if that's what's happening to Brad Keller. That's just, and I don't know if you have any opinions on that, but when I watch his walk numbers and strikeout numbers go up a little bit, that tells me it's a guy that's pitching away from contact all of a sudden. What do you see about that?
Well, and I'll say this. After his first two outings, you as a player, when you have two really bad outings like that, you're going to completely change what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously what I did the first two outings didn't work. Regardless of if that was, hey, man, what he's done, we've seen what he's done the previous 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, high contact rate, ground balls, and all that kind of stuff. Well, that didn't happen the first two outings, so all of a sudden, man, I'm going to start tinkering. We're going to look at tape. Let's see what's going on. You know, he and Eldred are probably in there pouring over everything every single day and maybe almost paralyzation by analyzation of seeing what's going on. Hey, man, let's try to throw a fastball for strike one. Get ahead of a guy. Trust your sinker and go out there and do what you've done in the past instead of, man, we panic a little bit after, you know, 3 out of 5 bad outings and we're going to completely change who we are. You're not going to completely change who Brad Keller is because he does have enough of a track record over the last 3 years. And he's got to be okay with that and not panic. And I'm sure he's in full panic right now because you want to continue to be successful. And at this point right now, this little short stretch, he hasn't been successful. So he's going to, you know, at least start changing a couple things to try to get out of it, at least mentally, you know, or maybe a little bit something from a mechanic standpoint to get him more over the plate. You know, maybe he just goes out of the stretch, and we simplify something in that regard. We've seen that with Danny Duffy. We've seen that with a bunch of guys where we eliminate the windup and we do something else. You can't imagine what guys go through when they're not pitching good. You'll do all sorts of crazy stuff to try to get out of that rut.
We will play the Mondesi clip when we come back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, let's hear one more clip from Dayton Moore. Adalberto Mondesi, who'd have thought we'd be May 4th? We were talking about all the hopes and the promise around Mondesi. Hell, we were talking about it. Was it opening day? The morning of opening day, and then we found out Isn't that right?
He got DL'd that morning.
You know, what is it? What the expectations were, and what was the conversation we had with Boddicker, and Boddicker was mad? You got to help me. I can't remember
which one.
Where was he hitting in the lineup?
Well, they were going to have him hit
third, right?
Third, yep.
Yeah, to start the
season.
And
that was the debate. Should Mondesi be hitting third? And now we're at May 4th, and he has not hit anywhere. I mean, isn't that crazy? Like, that was the big hot and heavy debate. I don't know if he should hit third. We should put him here. Well, I'd just like to see him hit anywhere, any part of the lineup. And it's honestly, when we heard Oblique, this is not longer than I thought it would be. This is about right, and even more, because that's what happens, right?
Yeah, no fast one coming back from Oblique.
Because that's when people are, somebody has, he won't be gone too long. With an Oblique, yeah, that could linger. And so here we are, May the 4th be with you, and still no Mondesi. But Dayton Moore was asked about the progress and how Mondesi is doing, trying to get back on the roster.
He's progressing well. He doesn't feel anything in the oblique when he hits right-handed or goes max effort defensively with his throws and his fielding and ranging for balls. So that's good. He had a little discomfort left-handed, and so we just kind of a little slower with that progression. But he's moving in the right direction. And, we will expect to see him during all of our pregame preparation. He'll be a part of the groups takes place in pregame during BP. We'll just see how he goes from there. And, we expect him to go out on a rehab assignment when the team hits the road.
Now, our mutual friend Sam has I talk about zero interest with Window Nation. Well, Sam has zero interest in Mondesi coming back. I'm just letting you know there's some people out there.
Oh, there's plenty of
them. And he's one of them. Yeah, have you ever talked to him about this?
No, I try not to talk to him about this.
Oh, I thought you said you try not to talk to him. I'll say, damn.
No, not about
him. Damn, Sam. No, next time you're with him, would you please?
Bring it up.
No, just go up to him and say, hey, boy,
I got this signed Roberto Martinez.
Say, boy, the Royals, what they're missing is some Mondesi. Your boy can't wait to get Mondesi back. Something like that.
He may punch me in the face.
Well, you can punch him back. You got good reflexes.
Pocket hurts.
But the point is,
he gets jump up pretty high.
You guys see me get irrationally mad about some things with sports. He gets super mad about Mondesi. There's and you get him going, and it'll be, you'll have to put the phone down.
Well,
and you
see him back.
I feel a text coming from him soon.
Right. And so, I mean, what do you? I mean, are you? I don't know what to say. Nate,
I'm not excited. I'm not disappointed. I'm neutral. Hey, if that helps spark our lineup for some more offense because we put him in there.
But every year it's something. Every year it's about when's he coming back from injury or how did he get hurt or why can't he hit at all? Or when he's hitting, why can't he be more consistent? It's like, it's
or what, holy smokes, look what he just did for that month. Goodness.
Right. And why can't he do this more often? Because if he didn't have those moments of excellence and those stretches where he looks fantastic,
we
wouldn't care because of the injuries and the times when he is so bad, but he teases you like, oh, this is what I could do, but now I'm not going to do it. For whatever reason. So I don't know. I mean,
come back and we put him in, Sam already, he's not blowing me up too. Right. Hey, man, if we put him back in the lineup and he sparks our offense a little bit, so be it. Hey, kudos to Nicky Lopez for a guy that was shipped out, gone, was going to the alternate site, going to AAA, wherever he was going. He's done an admirable job taking walks, doing what he did in the minor league level where he was getting on base guy. He's not hitting 300, but he's got a 350 on base percentage because he's taking walks and doing little stick.
So has he done enough to where when Mondesi comes back, Mondesi short, Nicky second base, and put Witt back out in the outfield?
I think so.
Nate?
Has Lopez, for me, yes. I like Lopez in the lineup. I realize he hits for zero power whatsoever. And 350 on base isn't like
he does not brings power.
He does not brings power, right. But
that
he makes good plays defensively. He grinds out at bats. He had a tough one last night where had a chance to drive in a run.
He's bringing power,
but it's
no.
But I'm a Lopez fan.
I like him too.
And I tell you what, Dozier. It's only two games, but Dozier back to back games now is hitting the ball.
Quit hemming and hawing. Spit it out. Come on.
I personally would rather see them stick with the lineup they got right now.
What's that mean?
I'm not in a rush to see Mondesi back personally.
Well.
I don't love
Mr. One of the best shortstops in the league. Now you don't want him back on the team. We have to sit down and have a heart to heart.
That was 2 years ago.
You don't want him back though?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I do.
I'm just saying this is a lot for you to say right now. Is Sam getting to you? Is he texting you and filling your head with all this?
No.
Jake, are you
don't surprised by this?
Don't
back down.
Blumen, look at this guy.
There's four components to a ball player.
Let's hear him.
In every sport, there's four components to being a good player.
What are they?
Mental, physical, technical, and tactical. Okay, physically, well, the tools
I like that.
Are the
tools. This guy.
I got that from Peter Vermees, by the way, but no, it's true.
Why don't just own this? I came up with it.
I think that we obsess over the physical a lot. But it's only one of four components to the player. You got to have the physical to be able to be a great player, but you still got to have it mentally. You got to have it technically. You got to have the skill for it. And you got to have it tactically. You got to understand the game and know how the game's played and be able to figure out those things. And I just wonder if Mondesi, the physical's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's
hurt half the time.
Well, that's a good point. That's part of being physical is being able to physically hold up and
so
play.
That's
a good point.
You're just in no hurry to get him back.
Yeah, I'm not in a hurry. I'm not saying I don't want him back. I just don't love the idea.
I want him back.
You do?
Yes.
I don't love the idea of ASAP. Of kicking Whit Merrifield out to the outfield when he's dependable and reliable.
Yeah, well.
Lopez is going out there and playing every day.
Because he can play those different positions. Put him to work.
Like he hasn't been
working. Here's what they ought to do. In my opinion, here's what I'd like to see.
Say it.
Let Mondesi go to the outfield. He's faster than all of them.
This guy has become a real hard ass. Not like this.
He's faster than all of them, right? That's all the only skill you need to be an outfielder.
He's played outfielder.
Yeah,
but
that's
fine.
Say, that's a little risky.
If you can play shortstop, you can play outfield.
I want this guy. I like
outfield
this.
Is so much easier to play than infield.
This is an idea guy now. This is what I'm looking for.
What if he doesn't have good eyes?
So we've gone from not being in the lineup at all to playing outfield and hitting first.
This guy's providing content.
I didn't say that. I'm not saying he has to play even every day. Maybe he's not an everyday player.
Now he's a bench guy.
Put him in the outfield rotation. Put him in the outfield rotation. Now, in the rotation,
ladies and gentlemen.
Get him back in the damn lineup.
Alberto Mondesi has driven Nate Buchanan crazy.
I think it's actually a really smart.
But like you've been like, you're all over the place with this. You don't know. Like the answer is you don't know.
I say let him fight for an outfield spot. Why kick the two reliable infielders off their spots? He's faster than them. That's the only tool you really need to have to be an outfielder.
Lebo.
And he's got a good arm. Why not put him in the outfield?
You know how wound up he is about Mondesi?
Why not put him in the outfield?
Thank you for the sound. You lit a fire under his ass.
Stick him out there.
I'm here for this. You can laugh.
Tell me
and
why it's a bad idea to put him in the outfield.
No!
You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WSB in Kansas City.
He's bringing ideas to the table, unlike the guy in there that shaved his beard and now is acting like a big jerk off
now.
He's
bringing power. I just texted Annie saying we're running a little long. We're fine. We can go.
I'll run this whole idea by Annie. She'll tell me I'm all wet.
Annie's like, man, do I hope they don't call me.
Right.
I don't want to be a part of this conversation.
Why don't you just keep running late, guys?
Jamie Blumer, go ahead and give us the phone number, how they can get a hold of you.
913-320-4404. Home field, Olathe, 2115 East Kansas City Road. Come visit.
Go out there and schedule some time to talk to Blumer about Nate's rantings and ravings about Mondesi. He's had Mondesi doing five different things over the past 10 minutes, and I love it.
He may catch next.
That's right.
He's got the arm for it.
Back after this on WHB.